what we call my brother Philip. He was saying hymn 71. The water and the blood, Lord, they cleanse us from our sins. When by the Spirit of thy word, we are renewed within. My dear Sister Zara, brethren and sisters, and young people. Brother Andrew was very suitably introduced our remarks, which is as he prayed by the side of the pool, preparing our minds for that tremendous act of faith which we have once again witnessed in the baptism of our new sister Zara. What a wonderful thing it is for us to behold, brothers and sisters, as we see another of Adam's race brought up, as Brother Andrew pointed out in his prayer, faithfully in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Truly a credit to godly parents, and truly a glory to our Heavenly Father. Through the power of his word, he is able to transform lives. We have been blessed, brothers and sisters, in witnessing this glorious event once again. And Brother Robert has truly remarked that when we behold one obeying the commands to believe, repent, and be baptized. You and I, brethren and sisters, gain an exhortation and an encouragement. But I think Brother Andrew has also reminded us of some very important words, sobering words to us, of our great responsibility in helping our new sister in that walk to the kingdom. We have read, brothers and sisters, in that Romans chapter 6, knowing not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Dear sister Zara, you have now been called to a high calling. The responsibilities upon you are great, as they are great upon us, brothers and sisters, as we faithfully make our way towards that kingdom. I thought it was appropriate that our daily readings today were found in Acts chapter 16 and 17. I think we read Brother Acts chapter 16 first of all, Brother Robert. Acts chapter 16, where the Philippian jailer, having received a conviction, made that wonderful declaration, "What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And it was also appropriate that we read the second part of our New Testament readings, Acts chapter 17, where the Berean attitude was described. Those brethren and sisters, those individuals perhaps at that time who were in Berea, are described as being more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. And on both parts of these readings, which I've just highlighted, we have seen our new sister demonstrate both those parts. The searching aspect of the scriptures. And in the confession of faith that was witnessed by Brother Arthur, Brother Stephen, and myself, testified to the searching mind of our young sister Zara. Every time we hear a confession of faith, brothers and sisters, it is an exhortation to us to renew and cherish our convictions, because the searching of the scriptures is a way of life. Sister Zara, your confession of faith was a tremendous encouragement to Brother Arthur, Brother Steve and myself, as we heard you pour forth the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. And you had already asked that question that the Philippian jailer had asked. What must I do to be saved? And your conviction of the scriptures had already given you the answer. Believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that superb confession of faith has resulted in a new birth that you and I, brothers and sisters, have witnessed at this time. The old man of the flesh, as we know, has been put to death. Sister Zara has with us entered into newness of life and are walking towards that kingdom which we all seek. As I thought of preparing these words, I also thought of one of our daily readings during the week. I think it was Wednesday, when we concluded the book of Ecclesiastes. And our 12th chapter and verse 1 holds that wonderful declaration, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And those who have known me for a few years know how I've often teased the young people and said, "What's the most important word in that sentence? Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And we'd have various answers, but "Remember," and I'd say no. And I'd say "Creator," and I'd say no. And I'd say "Youth," and I'd say no. So I'd say, "Well, what is the most important word?" And I'd say, "Now. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth." And Sister Zara has demonstrated to each and every one of us that in her youth, she remembered her Creator, and she's doing something about it now. She's given the best of her life to our Heavenly Father. Brother Gokart once said, "God wants the best of our life, not our dregs. He doesn't want it when life is past. He wants the best of our life." we'll teach him to the Lord, fasten his offer to the deity, kills it, Yahweh wants to help. And this is Zara, as she starts out walking to Zion, has shown to us, brothers and sisters, that she desires to give her best unto our Heavenly Father. What an exhortation, brothers and sisters, to you and I. You and I who perhaps have become jaded in the warfare of faith after years of battling against the flesh and against the world without. But herein lies perhaps the secret that Brother Andrew made reference to. We are going to need to be there for our new young sister as she takes on this glorious walk towards Zion. She has, as it were, demonstrated what is recorded in Lamentations 4. It is good for a man and a woman to bear the yoke in their youth. And we are greatly encouraged that our young sister is showing that to us. Like many others in the New Testament and in the Old, in their youth, in their young, early days, a desire to serve Yahweh to the best of their ability. It is a time of rejoicing, as we have all recognized, brothers and sisters, that Zara has now put on the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is a time of rejoicing for Sister Zara. And we were deeply, deeply appreciated the conviction that Sister Zara showed, even after reading that little book, The Doctrine of Fellowship, that she took the time to read through it and come to a conclusion. I think that was the train of thought I was going to come to earlier on when I was speaking about the appropriateness of Acts chapter 17. Sister Zara has made that decision to enter into the Berean fellowship. And we are greatly encouraged, though we are filled, we are encouraged by her and by her dedication and the love that she has for the truth. And each one of us, brothers and sisters, wants to continue that love in Sister Zara, that she may go on into perfection. It's a time for us to reflect, brothers and sisters, and it's a time for us to also prepare words of warning and encouragement for our new young sister too. In that chapter which our president read for us in Romans chapter 6, we read in verse 12, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." This is an exhortation, brethren and sisters, for ourselves, as well as Sister Zara. Sister Zara, you have now started in the warfare of faith. Do you remember the time when the children of Israel were going through the wilderness and they were fighting with Amalek because of the water? As soon as they found the water of life in the wilderness, the battle of faith began. It is a great warfare, Sister Zara, as your brethren and sisters will attest. Each one of us, brethren and sisters, that are engaged in our spiritual warfare against the adversaries without and temptation within. And our new young sister will need our encouragement as she goes on the journey that you and I have started. Let us ensure that we put into practice the words which Brother Andrew formed for us in his prayer at the poolside. Let us encourage Sister Zara in her time of perhaps weakness and trials, as you and I have experienced the weakness and the trials. Because trials, Sister Zara, there will be. In Acts chapter 14, and perhaps we could just turn there for a moment. In Acts chapter 14, we read that as the Apostle Paul went forth preaching the gospel, he confirmed some of those and strengthened them. In verse 22, we read, "Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must rather, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God." The word tribulation there, in the Greek, means pressure. It means pressure. And the scriptures teach us that the servants of God do not have a bed of roses. They are subjected to pressures, to trials, so that their character is developed. God doesn't necessarily test us, to prove us, but to improve us. And Sister Zara, you may be assured that sooner or later your trials will come in the mercy of our Heavenly Father, for whom Yahweh loves to chasten and scourges every son whom he receives, and every daughter for that matter. So, Sister Zara, as well as your own trials and tribulations, there will be the divine trials and tribulations, the pressures that will be exerted upon you to mold your character after the divine pattern. Dr. Thomas expressed it ever so well in Opus Israel. He said, probation is the indispensable ordeal to which every man is subjected in the providence of God before he can become fit for the master's use. It's an indispensable ordeal that God subjects us to in his mercy before we can become fit for his use. An untested man or woman is unfit for God's service. So the weaknesses, Sister Zara, you and I and our brethren and sisters here present, as well as in the fellowship, will share the weakness of our mortal nature. But we have the power of the Word of God to help us to overcome. And in the trials and tribulations which are exerted upon us, we have the power of the Word of God to help us to hold fast. Sister Zara, the way will not be easy. Trials will arise. Maybe they will be sharp because of the shortness of the time before the Master comes. But never lose courage. The searching of the Scriptures that you have already demonstrated to us must be the rule of thumb of your life. Continue in that way. Continue in the way that you have been assured of. No other child has known the Holy Scriptures that have made you wise into salvation and are able to provide you with an inheritance of the saints in life. I would like to go to the middle portion of our daily readings today, and that's the Song of Solomon, on the third chapter. We have wonderful words expressed to us in all parts of the Scriptures, brethren and sisters. And here we perhaps try to project our minds into the future, as it were, to the time when our Lord and our Master will be with us. The bride has a yearning in this chapter. Verse 1, by night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Four times in that chapter it says about him whom my soul loveth. It is the yearning of the bride for the bridegroom. That's the kind of yearning, brethren and sisters, that you and I need to have. The length and breadth and height and depth of the love of Christ. The love and the desire that must characterize the Master's bride. And Sister Zara, you have begun to demonstrate that love for him. Never let it be quenched. Many waters cannot quench love. Never let your ardent desire for the things of the Spirit and for our Lord and Master be dimmed. Verse 6 tells us, who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchants? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 70 valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel. This is an apocalyptic type of word in here. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke? This is the multitudinous man of Christ who comes forth. 70 men are about it. 60, the number of pillars that surrounded the tabernacle. Here we have the symbol of the redeemed. They all hold swords, we're told in verse 8. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Each one of them has engage in the warfare of faith They have been in a battle themselves in their individual daily lives, as you, Sister Zara, will experience in your own life. You will engage in the warfare of faith, but the reward is glorious. To be with that multitudinous number that will come up from Sinai, glorious with their Master, the altogether lovely one, the chiefest among 10,000. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of fear in the land. These are those who will go forth, brethren and sisters, in Simba to execute the judgment of the beast. You and I, brethren and sisters, if we are found faithful in that great day. And so we can, brethren and sisters, as Brother Robert said in his introductory remarks, take great courage from what we have seen in these latter days of Gentile darkness, where the things outside are depressing. Brother Robert once said they are chilling and killing. What would we say today? What would we say today about the things which are happening out there? Chilling and killing. There's no love. There's no warmth outside. The warmth and the love is within the household, Sister Zara. And we are delighted to have you with us. May it be, brothers and sisters, that we can provide that encouragement to Sister Zara, as Brother Andrew encourages us to do in his prayer. May we all take our turn in our individual ways to give our new sister encouragement in the way of life, that in so doing we may be encouraged ourselves, that in the trials and tribulations that we all experience, we may come out of it all victorious and be found acceptable to receive a part and a place in God's kingdom. Sister Zara, may Yahweh bless you on your walk, Zionward. May his face shine upon you and be with you.
Thank you, Brother Philip, for those words of encouragement and exhortation to each and every one of us. And we'll ask Brother Stephen Ford to do a closing prayer, before which we'll sing hymn number 50. Hymn 50. Thy goodness, Lord, our souls confess. Thy goodness we adore. A spring whose blessings never fail. A sea without a shore.
Amen. nothing